Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
Absolutely.
If we're uncomfortable
Absolutely.
Talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of What's Next. I'm executive producer Charles Gilbert. Today, we're checking in on the community curation project that the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture is launching with Buffalo's Michigan Street African American Heritage Corridor. We'll hear from Dr. Doretha Williams, who leads the Center for the Digitization and Curation of African American History at the Smithsonian. But first, we revisit her first conversation. Dr. Williams and Terry Alford from the Michigan Street Corridor joined What's Next contributor Saladin Allah. They talked about the collaboration and why preserving family stories and local history is such an important part of this work. Here's that conversation.
I first just want to just acknowledge just the importance of this project. I'm excited for you to be here to be able to share this with not just, you know, our local Buffalo community, but our entire region, because this is something that you typically do not see that is actually going on. You know, so I kind of want to start with you, Doretha, to kind of give us some insight into what is this curation community project?
Yes. You know, we call it community curation because it really starts with the people. Mm-hmm. And we make sure that we go across the country and help people to preserve the local histories, preserve their family history, their institutional history. It's so important because without the community narratives and histories, you don't have a national museum. So part of what this project is a thank you to communities across the country for making the National Museum what it is today. And we do what our founding director, who's now the secretary of the Smithsonian, Dr. Lonnie Bunch, we tell the unvarnished truth. We are making sure that we're preserving this history and being true to what communities are already doing. So Buffalo is the bookend to what we've started so far. We started in 2017. In Baltimore, and the team we have now, I think at our highest number, we were about 14. I think we're about 11 folks now. But we were going back and forth and working with Buffalo community, Baltimore community, and then we moved over to Denver, and then we were in Chicago, New Orleans, Nashville, St. Louis, and so Buffalo is the bookend to what we're doing so far in this first round of the project. I was thinking about a title the other day, and I was like, from Baltimore to Buffalo. I think it sounds great. But it's a wonderful project. It really takes what we do at the museum and takes it on the road. And we bring what we do at the museum, we place it in the community, but we work with the community. We come with a blank slate, and everyone here, whether it's the team at Michigan Street, whoever it is, you tell us the story and you tell us what you need to preserve it. And so we make sure we're hand in hand with the project. We are not extractive. We are not exploitive.
Okay.
We are holistic and inclusive. We are not the collecting arm of the museum either. So whatever is dealt with here, we do not remove it from the community, whether physically, if it's an object or a photo. We also don't misuse narratives. We do is the service to the community.
Wow. And the way that you're describing the process, I assume that it's also part educational, because
I'm
sure a lot of our community members are just not aware of not only the importance of this work and this project, but just also just the value of a lot of our stories and our cultural artifacts. What has been some of the challenges that you've seen thus far with this project?
Well, you know, some of the challenges really go back to making sure that we are trustworthy. Mm. It's difficult to come in as the Smithsonian and say, we're here for the community. Like, yeah. There may not be an understanding of that. There may not be an understanding of the history that could actually be the truth, right? Because you can come in and say everything, oh, we're great and we are for the community, but it could be extractive and it could be exploited. Mm. And one of the issues is, we as a large organization have to understand how exploitive other projects have been. Mm. And so you're dealing with people who have had their narratives misused, have had their items purchased, the photographs, you know, there are other institutions, I'm not going to name any names, that do that. So I think one of the biggest issues is not on the community, it's on us. It's on me to come in and say, we are not extractive. We are not going to exploit anything here. We are service to the community first and foremost. So that's the big thing. You need to make sure you have trust, which is why we've been here already for a year or so. It'll be another year or so before we do the project. It's about multiple touch points. It's about being seen in the community. So, you know, this person is trustworthy and this person is coming in to not even tell anyone what to do. You know, we're not here for that. We're looking at what's already going on and the great work of preserving local histories and to uplift that, elevate that, support that in any way. Yeah. So that's the first thing, coming in and saying we're trustworthy and making sure we stand by our word. And then I think the second thing is just making sure that we're embedded enough so that we can get your aunt to pull the pictures out of the attic, right? Yeah. And that we're doing this early enough, so early and often, right? So you get that message that, hey, this group is here to help view and examine this history. So those are two. It's Smithsonian. Mm-hmm. We have to show that we are trustworthy. And the second one is to be so embedded in the community that people are attracted to it, to bring their material, to bring their stories, to open their hearts and their histories to us.
Yeah. And I think that relationship building that you're speaking about.
Very important.
Is critically important, especially with the African-American Heritage Corridor on Michigan Street and the important work that Terry's doing over there, because he's embedded in the community, you know. And, you know, Terry, this project, how does this work in conjunction with a lot of the amazing work that you and your team have already been doing over in the corridor?
That's a great question, Saladin. You know, first, I think this initiative that's headed by Dr. Williams here is a godsend to where we are as a corridor right now in terms of what we're looking to try to do with our storytelling and all the things that we're doing with our capital projects to now focusing on creating programming. We're now actually even starting to develop a repository. And when we were selected, Buffalo was selected by this initiative to be a part of this great thing. Not only were we excited, we were ecstatic because, you know, not only are you a new way of engaging our community to participate in collections and sharing, I call it their antiquities, actually, not just objects, their antiquities to us. Again, it was a godsend. So we, you know, we are putting a lot of monies, as you already know, into building out that corridor, focusing on our four, what we call cultural anchors, the Michigan Street Baptist Church, the Reverend J. Edward Nash House and now Museum, the Colored Musicians Club and Jazz Museum, and of course, Wolfram Radio's Black Radio History Collective. They all have their own unique collections and things of that nature that we're looking to build out and safeguard and preserve for generations to come. But what we didn't have before this initiative came about was a means of really engaging the community directly. You know, I started in 2020. As soon as I walked in the door, I started receiving calls, doctor, from various folks from the community. He says, hey, Terry Alford, you know, my great-grandmother left me this coin, okay? And I think it was from the Pan American Exposition because it's branded that way.
Wow.
And I want to donate it to you. I want to donate it. Mm. And or I get a call from someone else who has a collection of old vinyl records of old Miles Davis or John Coltrane.
Wow.
That was recorded in Buffalo, maybe.
Wow. Right?
Or Billie Holiday, okay? And some of her heirlooms that she left in Buffalo, though she married someone here, a drummer who played and performed regularly at the Color Musicians Club. And these folks are contacting us, asking us to take these things in, these items, because they know they're important and they're valued, and they know they can't pass it down to their children or grandchildren because it doesn't maybe contain the same value right now for them. So they want to share these items. But we can't take them in because we don't have a place to adequately and safely store them or digitize them, if you will, record their existence and catalog them effectively, appropriately. So, you know, the digitization, you know, initiative that we're being invited to be a part of with Dr. Williams and her team is a godsend because it's an answer to so many people's, you know, questions right now. When these great folks came in last year and they were introduced to our community and our stakeholders, you know, then and still now, Dr. Williams, people are quite excited about when is that program going to start? When is the initiative going to start? Mm-hmm. Okay. You have folks at their own residences that have these small museums, if you will, of things that they brought up during the Great Migration to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have folks in churches with their own antiquities and don't know how to effectively, you know, record or to share those type of things. So this is an opportunity to allow for their involvement and their engagement. And that just opens up a whole nother, set of doors for the corridor.
Oh, yeah.
We're now more than just a place or a destination to really celebrate our histories and storytelling. Now it's a means to allow folks to share their histories and stories with us and with the community at large.
Absolutely. And then you think about the future stewardship of projects like this and the preservation component of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, just speaking to you initially becoming the executive director there and then people initially reaching out to you, that says a lot about that relationship building and that sense of trust.
Absolutely.
That people are willing to take their family heirlooms and antiquities and to be trustworthy that you know what to do with it. You know, there's not many of our people who are in those positions that are safeguarding and protecting our history and our culture. So this kind of collaboration is super exciting.
Yeah.
And you said it well. I mean, it's interesting. They don't know me more from Adam than Eve, right? They know I'm a son of the community directly. But for them to reach out to us.
Sure.
And to trust us, sight unseen, and really willing to share these items with us.
Yeah,
I'm glad the doctor said what she said about, you know, being worrisome about exploiting stories. And I think it says a lot, you know, with, you know, after just meeting you the first time and your team, the excitement, you know, sort of bridges that gap between trust. Because we look like them,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And you know, especially in the current events, the way they are now, the highly charged political climate that we're in, I think this really further galvanizes the community, too, in such a way to say, hey, I got a story, you got a story, you got a story.
Yeah.
And coming together and sharing those things in such a way with people, even on sight and seat as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you talk about the team that we have. One thing that people like when we're coming in the community, it's not just one person. You know, it'd be different. It's just me walking in like, we can do all of this, and you never see anyone, right? But we have a full team. We have our media digitization team. We have our genealogists. We have our historians. We have our curators who come with us. So it's an effort. It's a heavy lift, but it's an effort that's supported by the museum. It's supported by everything we do. So it's not just one person coming in and saying, we're going to do, we have a team. And this mm-hmm. is a Smithsonian-wide project that is supported. And, you know, that builds more trust as well, because mm-hmm. we can handle that lift and get it done.
Yeah. One thing that just came to mind is, you know, recently, I'm sure both of you are aware, the U.S. National Park Service mm-hmm. removed and then restored the image of Harriet Tubman and content from their website, which also boldly highlighted the agency and self-determination of people of African descent. And to see something like that happen to mm-hmm. such a world-renowned figure, right? I don't think that many people understand what that signals in terms of the potential erasure mm-hmm. of many other important unknown and known prominent figures within mm-hmm. our community. So just thinking about like this particular day and time, mm-hmm. Do you see that projects like this take on even more of a importance?
Definitely. They're more important now than ever. They've always been important. But when you are pushing against the active erasure of history, you know, you have to push to preserve it more, and you have to push to preserve it more within the community, right? Mm-hmm. You have to empower the community where that history comes from, because that's where the strength is going to be. That's where the pushback is going to be, in the community, with those who have created the history, with the elders, with the young people coming up. You know, it's very important to establish strength generations, like through generations mm-hmm. right now, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we often have those generational misunderstandings and arguments. Like, there's no time for that at this point mm-hmm. in time, you know? We have a program that we have a fellowship program, mm-hmm. And we host a fellow 2 to 3 years. This fellow must have at least one degree from a historically Black college or university. Mm-hmm. And then we host them for 2 to 3 years to do this work, to do community curation specifically.
Oh, wow.
And one of our fellows, Paul Springer Jr., he's our newest fellow. He's here with us today.
Oh, excellent.
We take him around, and he's, you know, we just take him around wherever we are. And so he is experiencing this as a younger person who is in this field, growing and developing. And so I just put him in there. I'm like, this is your job now. This is your life now. So we were talking the other day. He was like, man, I've never done this much traveling in my life. But the thing about that is, like, we are ensuring and nurturing the next generation of professionals in this field.
Yeah.
And this is so important. We have our elders and we have other generations, but it's so important to keep those generational connections, and definitely at a time like this, it's so important.
Yeah, and I think also him just being present in this space.
Yes.
And for younger people to see him and the possibility of working in a space like that and being genuinely himself at the same time,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was going to just add really quick that I think over the last, I want to say, 3 decades or so, mm-hmm. Many of us have sort of taken for granted our histories, you know, because we haven't been pushed to do so. You know, we haven't been, you know, assaulted, and I use that word, you know, not sparingly. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a full, frontal assault on our histories right now and our heritage, and it's vitally important that, you know, we galvanize together now. And I think that's happening. It's mm-hmm. it's great to hear, you know, about your fellow. It's interesting enough that, you know, after the last election, local professors of African descent have sort of started reaching out to the corridor, right, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to see how they can be connected, how they can connect their students. And, you know, this past Saturday, I was at Buffalo State University. I was mm-hmm. participating as a presenter there as part of their Buffalo Black Speaks conference, their inaugural conference. Mm-hmm. And it was put together by the students there in Africana Studies. And it embodied and it really showed, you know, the symbolism of passing that baton down to the next generation that follows us. You know, it's people like us, we go out, settle in and talk to the community. We always say we stand on the shoulders of so many that comes before us. Or, you know, we always talk about the people behind us, you know, passing the baton. But it's so really true now, important that there has to be more than just words now. And people are now galvanized and they're coming together and working together to really enhance and preserve our stories and our histories that many times are embodied in these collections and these antiquities that families have that uniquely tell who they are, where they're from, and why they're important and valued as human beings.
Yeah. So in terms of when is this project going to start here in Buffalo, and what will be the process, and how can people actually get involved in participating in this?
Yeah, well, we've already had the pre-conversation, so it's already started.
Okay.
But our team will be here stationed May through June in 2026.
Okay.
And so from here on out, we'll be having conversations. We have a conversation coming up to talk about what programs and projects do we need to support that are already going on, what projects we're going to create. We have some signature projects, so we'll definitely be having all of our equipment here to digitally preserve history, whether that's media, whether that's photo. So that'll be definitely something we always do. But also doing genealogy programs and bringing our genealogy reference assistants to work with the genealogists here and the historians here to talk about Black families in Buffalo. We will have a couple of programs that we do at the museum. One is called A Seat at the Table, and that is a conversation about social justice over a meal. And so it's based on the history of the region or the city that we're in at the time. And we take that on the road with us as well. So we'll be having different conversations about the programs that we're developing. And it's going to be great. It's over a 6-week period, so between May and June.
Okay. Yeah. And then Terry, so you're the main contact here in Buffalo, I take it, in terms of people wanting to connect with, getting involved in this project. How could they connect with you?
So easy. That's easy. They can always just call us up at our office, 716-322-1002. Again, that's 716-322-1002. Or go to our website at Michigan Street. Buffalo@information.com. We'll be readily out in the community. Don't worry about that in terms of helping to promote this and to really get the community stirred up and just keep them informed about when this all is going to happen. A lot of these activities will be occurring in the corridor, but I also understand that you have a mobile unit that'll be going directly to certain sites in and around the community in Buffalo to collect and record and digitize people's objects that they like to preserve for posterity, if you will.
Okay.
So we'll be really out there boldly and unapologetically, you know, really promoting this initiative. We're very excited to have the Smithsonian here and Dr. Williams and her team.
Absolutely. So what are some of the objects that community members are going to be able to bring to either get digitized or to get, you know?
Yeah, well, we welcome really two formats at this time. So that's any media. So that's your VHS tapes, your cassette tapes, film, all those what we call moving images and sound. So people will be able to bring those items to be digitized. Everyone receives the original product back as well as the digitized assets on a thumb drive. And so for the flat items we do, people can bring in their photographs, newsletters, whatever paper product, flat items. You know, a lot of people bring in their diplomas from their elders, like grandma and grandpa's diplomas, photos of family reunions. There's always somebody's church secretary who brings the obituaries. Like we always kind of have that same type of collection of material, bring those in to be digitized. We also do a program called Treasure, Saving Our African American Treasures. It's out of a different department at our museum, but we had them on the road with us in Nashville in 2023. So we're not sure if we're doing that again, but that's where you actually bring your objects in to have them reviewed by a curator and have them rehoused in safe packaging. So acid-free boxes, acid-free folders. And that event brings out so many wonderful items. In Nashville, we had about 5 or 6 old family Bibles that people brought in. Yeah. People bring in wonderful items of their family members, diplomas from the elders, just great things, scrapbooks, recipes, all these wonderful items that people bring in to have digitally preserved. And as I said, we are not accessioning, so we don't take any of the items with us. Everyone gets their original item back. We do have a process if anyone is interested while we're there to start any paperwork or they want to do any type of donation. That has not happened through our project, but we can send it off to other curators, another collection management at the museum. But we always make sure that people know that this is not a project where we're taking items out of the community.
That was Saladin Alaa with Dr. Doretha Williams and Terry Alford. When we come back, Dr. Williams gives us an update in a recent conversation with Jay Moran about how the project is coming along. This is What's Next from Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
The headlines don't stop. The world keeps moving, and through it all, you need news and information you can trust. That's where we come in. WBFO is now Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR. Same station, same trusted journalism, just with a new name. From Morning Edition to All Things Considered, from Group Chat to Friday Night Lights, from What's Next to the BBC, we bring you the stories and smart conversations that matter. No spin, no nonsense, just the perfect mix of news, information, and entertainment. Listen anytime on the BTPM Listen app or btpm.org.
Why do so many people turn to Buffalo Toronto Public Media? It's because we bring you more than just TV and radio. We deliver trusted news, inspiring performances, and programs for the whole family. From Nova and Frontline to BTPM NPR's local news and music sessions from BTPM Classical and BTPM The Bridge. Public Media connects you to the stories, music, and moments that matter. Explore more at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
Are you a student or professional between the ages of 20 and 30 looking for opportunities to create positive change in your community? Join the Buffalo Toronto Public Media Young Professionals Council to share your voice, learn about nonprofit stewardship, and help shape the future of public media across our region. Visit btpm.org/YPC to learn more.
Buffalo Toronto Public Media brings our community together with programs that inspire, inform, and entertain. Enjoy trusted news, local performances, educational resources, and cultural treasures all in one place. It's more than media. It's a connection to the world around you. Discover what Buffalo Toronto Public Media offers at btpm.org. This is Public Media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues facing the communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM app, and we'll work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern we should be addressing? Email us at whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that matter. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
And we welcome back to What's Next. Dr. Doretha Williams. Dr. Williams, with the National Museum for African American History and Culture, part of the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. Thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
It is exciting. What's exciting is the project that you're bringing to Buffalo.
Yes.
This is an oral history project. Very excited about how this is going to work out. Just kind of lay out how extensive this is going to be this coming year.
Yes. Well, we started community curation back in 2017, shortly after the National Museum of African American History and Culture opened. And it was funded to go into communities and help preserve local histories. So we started out up the street in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we go and take our resources to communities. And one of our main resources is to preserve history for communities and for institutions and for families. So, and we do that through digital preservation. And so we ask people to bring out their personal items, their heirloom pieces that may be caught on audiovisual or flat items, photos, paper products, and have them digitized. And over almost a decade, we've grown to also include the public programs that we host here at the museum in DC. We take those on the road with us. We make sure that everyone gets a sense of what we do at the museum on the road, because everyone, you know, won't get to DC. Like, how do you experience this National Museum? And also, the National Museum is built on the history of our local communities and our local museums. So this is also a way to honor all of those histories and communities that have become a part of the National Museum. So we started out in Baltimore. We made our way across the country to Denver and then to Chicago, New Orleans, Nashville, St. Louis. And now we will be in your neck of the woods in Buffalo in May and June 2026. And so we're excited to bring this project to help people preserve those local histories and memories and work with institutions and families and communities.
So we are up at the holidays here.
Yes.
A lot of people, a lot of the expats, and Buffalo has a lot of expats across the country. We'll be coming back, though.
Sure.
Visiting with family. So this, the idea here for you right now in our conversation at this particular time is just that, to get it in people's mind what they might be able to bring out next spring and summer when you guys are here for this digitization project. So what should people be focusing on? How do you think those conversations should go?
Yes, you know, this is a good time to go and find those VHS tapes, find those cassette tapes, find that undeveloped film, find those reel-to-reels that may be housed in grandma, auntie's closet somewhere in the attic. This is this time to do that when you're home and start having those conversations with your elders. This is the time to capture those stories, finally get recorded. Conversations that have been on your heart for all these years. This is the time to do this. This is time to reconnect with your high school class, your college class, to come together and bring those items to say, hey, you know, remember that reunion we had in 1985? This is the time to bring those photos together and have those conversations so that when we're there in May and June, that we can help everyone to preserve those histories that you find. But this is the time to have those conversations with your family about family history. And this is the time to start gathering those materials.
Man, I can imagine that's going to spark some really interesting conversations in households around Buffalo. Yeah. I'm curious, how specific or how general can these items be? I think that's probably going to be a big part of the give and take. You know, oh, I have X product from 1980. What are we looking for? What should we maybe not consider for this?
Well, we don't consider any commercial recordings. So if you have recordings of TV shows or things like that, we don't digitize those. People should be concentrating on those materials that have captured your family history. So if you know that there's a collection of VHS tapes that capture the last, 10 or 15 family reunions, this is the time to pull those. If you know that you had a conversation with elders who may no longer be with us on cassette tape, this is the time to do this. This is the time to go through photos that you may have of family. This is the time to do this as well. And as I mentioned before, if you're in an alumni group in your college, your high school, what have you, this is the time to find those items around your house and in your family's homes and pull those materials so they can be prepared by the time we're back in May. So we stay focused on those items that represent your family's history.
So you're going to be here, in the springtime? Let's go through the dates. So maybe again, try to get this in everybody's mind, because we want this to be the best participation of the Smithsonian has conducted when they come to Buffalo. But let's get the dates in mind. And again, back to thinking about the family members, what they should bring, how they should bring it. Let's go through that a little bit.
Sure. We arrive in Buffalo on or before May 8th, Friday, May 8th. What we do is we will be set up in the Michigan Street African American Heritage Corridor. So we have a very large mobile digitization unit that we will park there in that neighborhood, and people can come by and bring their items. But we will be there starting Friday, May 8th, and we depart shortly after Juneteenth. So we'll be there to maybe about June 23rd. That date is still kind of floating, but it'll be post Juneteenth. And so we will be in the Michigan Street area with the truck. What we will do is make sure to send you the links for the sign up to have people's items digitized. So everyone will have that information to be able to sign up prior to as well. And while we were there, in addition to doing the digitization, we will also be planning programming throughout those 6 weeks that we will be there, including a program, what we call a seat at the table, where we talk about social justice and history in local communities. And it's going to feature the cuisine representative of the area. And then we'll have local historian and local conversations about history there in Buffalo. So that will be coming, as well as another program called Historically Speaking, where it's a similar conversation about local history. We're teaming up with the Niagara Underground Railroad.
All right.
Yes, up north, Niagara Falls Underground Railroad Heritage Center. Make sure you get that correct. in collaboration to do a screening with a fabulous Tony Cohen, who has made a couple of trips on the Underground Railroad and through the Underground Railroad. And so we're going to be showing a film based on his travels and his route through the Underground Railroad, which he will be repeating again next summer. So those are some of the things that we're going to be doing. We're going to be working with college students. We're going to be working with the Colgate-Rochester-Crozer Divinity School to talk more about African Americans and houses of worship. That'll be happening in May as well. And then we're also going to have on the road with us our oral historian and our genealogist to specialize in conducting oral histories in families and oral histories in communities as well. We'll be participating in the Juneteenth parade and other Juneteenth activities in Buffalo. So we're thoroughly, thoroughly excited about all that we have planned and the collaboration that has already been underway. Over the last 2 years, we've started working with the African American Heritage Corridor, with the Color Musicians Jazz Club, with with Buff State, University of Buffalo, with Rochester, and all those areas back in 2024. So by the time we get there, we'll have been in communication and in collaboration with community organizations and families and institutions for over 2 years. And that really is the point of this project, is to create these long-lasting relationships in order to preserve local histories. I always state, when we talk about community curation, that we are a non-collecting arm of the museum. So everything that we do is in service to the community. So that's always something I want all communities to know, that we are not an exploitive project or an extractive project. We are here to preserve local history for the sake of those communities.
Curious to why Buffalo?
I mean, we've talked about some of the other cities that have been involved, Denver, St. Louis.
Why Buffalo?
Well, you know, we want to make sure that we have a wide range of communities and the stories of African-American migration and community building. And, you know, Buffalo is the bookend to the first set of cities that we've been working in. So looking at Buffalo as this place of freedom for African-Americans in migration during slavery, as well as through the migration patterns for the industrial areas of the country, and really specifically about this idea of communities developing on either side of the U.S.-Canadian border. And all these conversations, you know, the history of music in Buffalo, the history of food in Buffalo. And so proud to know all the people and organizations who are working in the Michigan Street area. And it's just beautiful to see all that. So, you know, we have to understand all these different locations and area of the country that hold these unique understandings of African-American history and migration and education building and business building. And so, you know, Buffalo is that perfect point to end on for this part of this project. We'll continue to go to other cities and regions. All in all, we've been to about 20 plus communities. Community curation is the largest project that we do that is multi-month, multi-year. But we often are just sometimes on the road for a week at a time or a few days on the time working with other communities as well. But it's Buffalo because we are making sure that our experiences are as diverse and wide as the history of Black people in this country.
There's more of What's Next coming up after this brief message.
Whether you're here for the headlines, the harmonies, or the next great song, you're in the right place. We've brought all our stations together under one name, Buffalo Toronto Public Media, BTPM NPR, BTPM Classical, BTPM The Bridge, BTPM PBS. Unique voices, one connected home for public media. New name, same great content. Discover more at btpm.org.
From the fringes of the mainstream to the local music you love. Listen to Buffalo Toronto Public Media at The Bridge Monday through Thursday, 8 p.m. to midnight on BTPM NPR at 88.7 or from your smart speaker.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues facing the communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM app and we'll work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern we should be addressing? Email us at whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that matter. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Welcome back to What's Next. I'm Jay Moran.
Dr. Doretha Williams is with us from Washington, D.C. She's with the National Museum of African American History and Culture, part of the Smithsonian, and will be here next year for a community history project. We've talked a little about that. We'll most certainly repeat the details before we're all said and done here with you, Dr. Williams. But you will be here during the Buffalo Juneteenth
Yes.
Celebration. And not to sound like too much of a cheerleader, but I'm just kind of curious what you may have heard about the Buffalo Juneteenth celebration.
I've heard it's the largest in the world. And so we are thrilled to be a part of that. And, you know, this project is not just the Smithsonian going and being part of communities. The team that I lead, it's our learning experience as well. This is an exchange. It's about community building, it's about relationship building, and it's about exchange of experience as well. So when we're on the road and we get to meet new people, interview new people, learn new histories, it's a pleasure for us, you know. It's an experience for us as well. So we are thoroughly excited to spend Juneteenth with Buffalo.
We'll be glad to have you for sure. Going to these different communities and having these conversations, I'm sure your memory is overwhelmed by the number of conversations you've had. But I'm wondering if there's a theme or certain aspects of these conversations that you've had over the years that have informed you about history and more specifically about African-American history and perhaps maybe has expanded your understanding. Yeah.
You know, I've always loved the hope that we find in these communities, the hope in the development of community education, business. I enjoy learning about the love, the joy in community building. We did a community curation back in 2023 in Nashville, Tennessee, where Fisk University, historically Black college and university in Nashville, was our host. I'm actually a graduate of Fisk University. I graduated in the 90s. We won't give all the years on that, but it was back in the 90s. But part of going to Nashville and taking this project to Fisk, where we actually digitized many of the collections of the Fisk Jubilee Singers from their 1870 tour in Europe, and which saved the school and helped build Fisk Jubilee Hall, which is the first building for the education of African Americans in that area. So to think about this project, taking it back to my alma mater, where I spent my late teens, 18, 19, 20, and early 20s, in the collections, looking at these Fisk Jubilee Singer collections, looking at all these wonderful archives stored there at the John Hope Franklin Library, to multiple years later, bring this project back and to help digitize some of the collections I saw and handled as a freshman, and to show that, hey, as a Fisk guide, as a graduate, I still feel very deeply about this university and the preservation of history. So it's the joy, it's the love, it's the dedication that I love about learning about African-American communities across the country, as well as migration patterns. That's my big thing as well.
Really?
I love seeing it. My mother's family is actually from Davidson County, which is where Nashville is located, and they are part of the Exodusters community, and those were African-Americans who left that region in Davidson County and other areas in the South and made their way to St. Louis and on their way to Kansas to start small towns in Kansas. My family wound up just in central Topeka in a place that was called Tennessee Town at that time. And this is in the late 1870s, 1878, 1879. So, you know, look, we did, you know, community creation in Nashville and also in St. Louis. So I'm not only looking at the history of Black people, I'm looking at my own history, right? Going from these spaces. And then, of course, me personally winding back in Davidson County at Fisk University as an undergrad. So those patterns, those things that we seem to always end up working with, there's always someone who comes with a stack of obituaries from a church. And obituaries are very important in genealogy and family history. Sometimes that's where people lay out their family history, and we end up digitizing those. You know, we're always looking at the building of of local Black businesses and Black business areas. We're digitizing that material. We're having conversations about those histories as well. And they all connect. Everywhere we've been, there's a connection. There's a connection in Chicago. We've done work in Mississippi, and there's always a, in Chicago, there's always a Mississippi component, right? So looking at all these migration patterns that really tie these experiences together are very important for us to do as well.
And just when you were talking about businesses, so I would assume then advertisements that might have been in the local papers, things along those lines are pertinent for what you're looking for?
Yes. You know, we usually find those the Black business pages that were and those that were similar to Green Book, the Green Book, or those types of publications where African Americans could go to see either safe places to travel to or areas to travel through, as well as the local businesses that were developing in those communities. So that's also a very important aspect of that history we're preserving, also preserving the local education groups that developed universities, other organizations that really pushed education in communities as well. So it's such a wonderful experience to learn so much while we're on the road, and also to give and be a part of those projects that are already happening, right? We never go to a community with an understanding we know what everything or how things should go. We always take the time, at least 2 years, to understand the history of the community and to know who's doing the work and how we support that work that's already going on in communities. And so we're delighted to work with the Michigan Street Group, as well as other organizations that are doing great work in Buffalo.
And you did mention something about education. Obviously, like you said, you've got a lot to learn still about Buffalo, but you've done your homework as well. The city of Buffalo, the school district of Buffalo, has a complicated history when it comes to segregation. What have you learned maybe from these other cities? As you went in, maybe found out how the education system impacted, whether uplifting or perhaps maybe keeping down communities.
Yeah, you know, every time we're in a community, there's the issue of segregation, desegregation, integration, and the cycles that come from that, right? It's never something that is static. There's the history always continues. So, you know, it's always interesting to us and to me specifically to see the challenges that Black communities have in this cycle of exclusion and segregation, but how there's always triumph and rising above and creating those spaces to continue to educate, number one, and two, to fight, to rise up and fight and challenge, whether that's in the streets protesting or that's in the court or in politics, right? So always looking at that cycle of challenge, that cycle of triumph, and it continues, as we know to this day, and definitely in this season and climate, that there's always this cycle of challenges, of triumph. And so we always see that when we're on the road and learning about education and pathways to education in communities.
As you may have been able to tell, I could probably ask you questions for the rest of the day here, Dr. Williams, but our time is short. So I want to get back to the call to action. We're upon the holidays here. What you would like to see from members of the Buffalo community as you get ready to come here next spring?
Yes, this is the time. This is the time to have those conversations with your families. We are excited to be there to help you capture that information and that material. But this is the time to go and say, we know we have that box of cassettes under grandma's bed in the back. Mm-hmm. We know we have those photos from the family reunions back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We know we have those graduation videos from a couple years ago. This is the time to bring that material so that we can have those prepared for you when we're there in May through June, so that you can share them far and wide with your family. And it's time to have those items so that you can also have that more holistic understanding of your family history. You know, somebody may have those photos from this time of year, and another family member may have another set of photos from where they lived in a different area. And there's something about bringing together all these conversations that makes that family history whole.
And is there an outlet to get more information as we're
yes.
at this stage? Again, still a few months out from when you and your team come to Buffalo.
Yes, I can definitely direct people to our website, the National Museum of African American History and Culture website, where we have plenty of best practices and how-to videos posted as well. And this will help people understand how to maybe have a conversation recorded on your phone, how to have conversations with the elders, how to protect and collect those photos across the your family. So we can definitely make sure that everyone in Buffalo has access to those resources to prepare for our visit in May.
And I hope you and your staff are prepared for this visit to Buffalo. And I will warn you that you're probably going to see me, our executive producer, Charles Gilbert, following you around as you as you go through all of these activities. We're very excited that you're coming to Buffalo.
Oh, we are excited and we will welcome you. One thing that we love about this project is when we're there for 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. So we just get settled. We get rooted in the community. We find our favorite restaurant, our favorite coffee shop. We just become one with the community. So we are very excited to be there this summer in Buffalo, New York.
Dr. Jaretha Williams, thanks for being with us on What's Next.
Thank you.
For Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR, this has been What's Next.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.